If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Now, here's Ira.
The Sound Podcast is proud to be part of the Osiris Podcast family, a growing community of music and cultural podcasts connecting music fans like you with conversation, commentary, and of course, music. For more, visit osirispod.com. Before we get to today's show, have you seen the amazing containers that cannabis and hemp products come in these days? I'm talking about those amazing joint tubes you carry around in your pocket or the cool containers edible products come in now. There's a revolution in packaging happening around the cannabis industry. In fact, it's already happened. Our new sponsor, Kush Co., is largely responsible for incredible innovations that are so useful, well, we take them for granted. But these packages have to comply with strict guidelines, be childproof, and all other sorts of regulations. Kush is on top of that. I guess they are really good at what they do because they've sold over a billion units of stuff to more than 5,000 legally operated medical and adult use dispensaries, growers, and producers across North America, South America, and Europe. Check out their site at kushco.com/podcast for more information. The show starts now.
Folks are
You've been listening to the Tedeschi Trucks Band and They Don't Shine off their forthcoming record Signs, due out February 15th, 2019. I've had a chance to listen to the album multiple times, and it's definitely eclectic and very strong. In fact, their fourth album might be their finest collection of tunes to date. It's a deeply personal album, and this band has been through quite a bit in the last few years. The album is dedicated to Colonel Bruce Hampton, and when our conversation started with Derek Trucks, I asked if tragedy, loss, and change ultimately fuels the fire to make inspired music full of hope, celebration, and love.
I think it definitely fueled, it fueled this record. I think there's something really healthy and cathartic about writing what you're going through. And I think any great music or art is usually coming from that place of, sometimes you can write about a good day, but usually that's not as compelling as writing about,
right.
Something that that everyone understands, And I think there's something a little comforting, and it takes a while to get there, but realizing that when you're writing about this stuff and you're recording it and getting it down, and you realize that you're certainly not the first person to ever go through those things or feel those things. And in some ways, it helps people connect with it, and it helps people deal with it. And it certainly does that. It did that for me and for us. I mean, right. Doing this record was very therapeutic that way. I mean, it felt like it took longer than other records, or maybe you had to dig a little bit deeper to get there. But it certainly felt like the work that needed to be done at the time.
I do want to get into the songs, but before we do, can you talk about the recording process with Jim Scott and Bobby Tizz at, your recording studio in Jacksonville, particularly about the commitment to record the stuff off the floor, I assume, on 2-inch analog tape, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole concept of this record and going into it, it was more methodical than anything we had done before. And a lot of that was Bobby Tees, who's the engineer, and his father, who's also a studio engineer, decided that we wanted to try to record everything on an old Studer 2-inch machine. And we had picked one up a few years ago, but we hadn't gone through it and we hadn't got it recapped. And, you have to get the whole thing, you have to give it a once over. It's like an old car. You got to make sure everything's working, every frequency is recording properly. And so going into the record, we spent a good month and a half of just tearing through the studio, and Bobby and a guy named Joe Russo, who's an amazing technician, just ripped the studio apart and were just mad scientists and went just 8-10 hours a day just recapping things. And so the whole process was, it felt important going into making this record, because there was so much energy and thought put into getting everything up and running. And down there, the studio was just humming. The board sounded better than it ever had. And once we got the tape machine up and running, Jim Scott, I mean, he made so many records on that machine back in the day. He knew exactly how to push it and how to work it. And once we started tracking I had a sense it was going to be worth it, but once we started, it was a no-brainer. And it does focus you, man, when you're recording the tape and the band's recording the tape. You don't have unlimited tracks, and you can't just push a space bar and record another one. Like, there's so many minutes per reel, and if you want to keep tracking, you got to make sure that it's worth burning tape. you make a record, you're going through 20, 30 reels, and that stuff, tape ain't cheap or free. You got to meet it, And when you're doing an overdub, you have, there's a few tracks set aside for a vocal overdub or guitar overdub, and you got to decide, are we recording over that last one? You want to lose it forever? How sure are you about this? So there's something about it that just, I think it locked everybody in, and I just feel like everything feels a little bit more elevated, a little bit more important when you're recording that way. And I hadn't made a record that way in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And I realized how much I missed it when we started making this record. And I'm glad it was this record that we did that way, because right. I think the subject matter and just where everyone's head was, I think it was, it needed to feel more important. And I think it all added to where we ended up.
The pressure is to the tape, not necessarily to the, well, it is to the recording process, obviously, because this is such an important record, but you're not pressed for time in terms of studio time, but you are pressed for time in terms of how many reels of tape you're going to use, and then that becomes the art form, right?
A little bit. And, you know, and even just getting quality tape now is tough, so you got to put the order in a little bit ahead of time. It's not, you can't just run down to the store and get 2-inch tape.
Right. Best Buy doesn't stock it anymore.
Especially in Jacksonville, Florida.
Right.
Yes.
Let's talk about some of the songs, because I think for the first time as a band and as artists, you have stretched the boundaries of the Tedeschi Trucks Band in terms of songwriting and indeed performance. The first quote unquote single is Hard Case. I call it that because, I mean, I don't know if we live in a singles world anymore, but alas, Hard Case is the first single. This is definitive Tedeschi Trucks Band. I mean, there is this, though, Delaney and Bonnie thing that happens for me. Not sure if it's the bluesy upbeatness, Susan's vocal performance, but I'm curious about how these songs come together and how they have that very authentic throwback, happy bluesy sound. How does that happen?
Well, you know, I think that tune, out of any of the tunes on the record, came out of that place. You know, we had just done a few years prior, but we had done that Mad Dogs and Englishmen tribute with Joe Cocker,
right.
Before Joe Cocker, with Leon Russell and a lot of the original members. And that was, a lot of that band was the Delaney and Bonnie band. So it's very much that sound. And I think while we were learning all that material and playing that material, I think it certainly sparked some ideas. And Mike Madison's an amazing writer. And I think he felt like we needed to, he felt like he needed to write a tune in that space, and that, you know, that, like you said, it's the way the vocals are singing out. It's almost two lead vocals going on at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much in that spirit. And so that was a tune that Mike wrote around that time, and immediately just, you know, he wrote it for the band, thinking about Susan and him, or Susan and Mark Rivers singing it together. And when he brought that one in, me and Sue were in the studio, and it's just one of those tunes that you start playing, it's you're like, oh yeah, that sounds like us. That's the band.
Yeah.
I know that band. So those are fun. I mean, there's other tunes you write where you start in on it, and you write the tune, but it takes you a minute to figure out or hear how the band is going to adapt it, or mm-hmm. how the song's going to adapt to the band, or any of that. But a tune like Hard Case just kind of, it played itself. You know, it was right in the wheelhouse of the band.
There are a few other songs that are in the wheelhouse of the band, like They Don't Shine and Shame, Signs, High Times. These kinds of songs are your bread and butter, right? I mean, these are the rockers where you get to bust out, and Susan gets to sing loud, and Mike and the horns and the whole band. That's what we've known you guys for, and we're going to get to a couple of songs on this record that are a departure, but that sound, that's so critical to the Tedeschi Trucks Band experience, right? I mean, that's who you guys are.
Yeah. No, I definitely hear that, and that's it's funny, because a tune like Signs, when we got the arrangement down, when we rolled tape, it was, that one was one take, and the first time we played it, it doesn't happen often, but there's sometimes where you track a tune, and everyone knows that was the one that's going to be on the record, and I'm glad the first song on the record ended up being that way, because there's something about hitting a lead off home run or double or whatever it was. Or it just feels, it gets everyone in a good place. And but that, yeah, I mean, that's the band. It just, when everyone gets to kind of sink their teeth into a tune, it just happens, you know. And that, like you said, it's you know, that's pretty quintessential for this band, those types of tunes. And yeah, I mean, it's fun to write those. It's fun to write them and play them and record them. And I think everyone's kind of jonesing to get out on the road and start playing these tunes, because we're all playing, but we're trying to save a lot of them until record release day. So I think everybody's ready to play the new stuff.
I love the production on Signs High Times, by the way. I wasn't sure if I was high or if there was a problem with the car speakers or what was going on. But you guys are definitely screwing around with where the vocals are, and it's definitely interesting and definitely suits the song. I mean, that's all intentional, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't speak to what was going on in the control room when this was happening. But, yeah, I mean, the idea was, you know, thinking about some of those old Sly records where a record starts and you hear three or four different vocalists and everyone gets a piece and you're immediately like, oh, this is a band. This is,
right.
I got it. This is a family. This is a thing. And I love the idea of the first song on the record, passing around the vocal, and and when you're sitting in the control room, you realize that, you know, we can make this a little more obvious by putting Mark over here on the left and Mike on the right and Alicia over here, and then and there's a vocal on it too where Sue really digs in, and I really wanted it to sound like an amplifier was about to blow up, so we spent some time on that. And you know, you keep trying to figure out how far I push it, and a few times I pushed it where it sounded like the speakers had blown up. I was like, maybe too far. I don't know. So those are fun moments, though, when you really get to test the studio and you get to test how far everyone's willing to entertain the thought, or see how far we're willing to go before we record it down. So, but yeah, that was a fun tune to make for sure.
They Don't Shine does have a, you know, it's ironic that you're in a studio that's called The Swamp, but it does have a swampers feel to it. Like, I mean, it does have that, quintessential swamper sound to it. And all of these songs, I mean, in some way continue to be a throwback to a time where people really cared about, you know, the music that they're making, and it shows in the performance, at least on tape.
Yeah, I mean, I think the further we get down the road, the more comfortable we feel just kind of being who we are,
right.
You know, and you try to, you realize that, you know, I grew up kind of steeping in this stuff, you know, I grew up in it and around it, and so did Sue in a lot of ways. And, you just have to, and then you also realize that this is important music, and it's and no one's really doing it, and it's important to do it. And it's important to do it and not just try to recreate what was done, but, you know, to do it fresh and do it now and do it, write about what's happening in your life and in the world, and, you know, push the boundaries where you can. And then, but don't, you know, I think sometimes you can get caught up on trying to pretend that you're reinventing the wheel every time you touch an instrument or make a record. And I think you can get caught up and just trying to out-hip yourself.
Right.
Sometimes instead of just being who you are, you know. We just did a tour with Willie Nelson, and I remember standing side stage, and it was just so refreshing to see him just be 100% him, and not, you know, just zero apologies. He was just up there. He played this Django Reinhardt tune called Nuages, and I hadn't heard a guitar sound like that in forever, and it just hit me. Like, he is a fully realized version of himself.
I would hope, at this point, I would,
you know,
hope so.
I think as a band, you try to get to that.
But there are...
Yeah, but, you know, you see a lot of people get further away from it.
Right. Right. Well, you know, there are a few songs that are a bit of a departure, having said all that. Strengthen in What Remains is one of them. It's gorgeous. The strings. It does have, you know, a 70s, and I was thinking about it, like a Carpenter's vibe to it. I love it. And also Kofi is just outstanding. And Susan, I mean, what more needs to be said about that song, Strengthen in What Remains? It's so beautiful.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite moment on the record, personally. And I think we almost called the record "Strengthen What Remains." Yeah. It kind of encompasses what was going on and what the record's about, and the strains that Kofi wrote, and then the flute moment with him is just some of my favorite recorded moments that I've been a part of, just being in the room with that happening. And then Susan's voice on that is just hits the place, you know. And that was a song that Mike wrote of somebody really close in his life that was, you know, going through something mm-hmm. serious. And just the sentiment, knowing where it came from and knowing the way she sang it and just the care given to it when the song was recorded. And then Kofi coming in with those ideas, and we brought the string quartet in, and watching him conduct it was just those are moments where you're like, you know what, it's a good day to mm-hmm. be doing what we do. it felt right. So yeah, those are things. As much as I love playing live and getting out and doing what we do, those are things that you I don't think you can capture any other way. It has to be in those safe places, and it has to be that intimate, and it has to be at home in a lot of ways.
Our conversation will continue in just a bit. Off the top of the show, though, I told you about Cushco Holdings. They are, by the way, a publicly traded company under the ticker KSHB and the parent to innovative cannabis industry leaders such as Kush Supply Company, Kush Energy, The Hybrid Creative, and Coletto Packaging Solutions. They are doing amazing things aside from sponsoring our show. You should check out their website at kushco.com/podcast for more information. Now, back to the show. All the World is another great song that really shows Susan's range. It's a ballad. It's gorgeous. Are you ever amazed at how she can, on one song in a set, belt out these blues numbers, but also can find that very precise quietness in softer songs? I mean, it's incredible just to listen to the range and her tone and her ability.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what separates good from great. And you know, on a nightly basis, I'm amazed by that stuff. And when we started making records, when we put this band together, that was one of the things that I really wanted to key in on and figure out how to capture properly, because I felt like up to that point, maybe the records, and I think they were going after one thing, and they kind of missed, to me, a lot of the most important stuff, and that's the range of it. You know, that you can, like you said, it can be just full lioness,
yeah.
just get out of the way, or it can just bring you in so close where you feel like you're just right there, right next to the microphone, and just on a tune like on Strengthen What Remains or on All the World, that's world class singing, and not many people can do both.
Yeah, and not many people can have her sing to you like at home and stuff. I mean, that's you're a lucky dog. Which brings us to the ending. A tribute to Colonel Bruce. And frankly, the whole album, I think in many ways, is a tribute to him. And you can find meaning probably in each and every song. Even the album cover, my guess is that it's sort of an ode to aquarium rescue unit with all the sea life. It's gorgeous, by the way, the album cover. Before we get to the specifics of the song, I'm curious about your thoughts now. Looking back at your time with Colonel Bruce and indeed his untimely or perhaps incredible timely passing. I mean, where else would he have wanted to be, really, right?
Yeah. No, it's hard to fully wrap your head around something like that. And, you know, it, in a lot of ways, just still conflicted about whether it was the most beautiful thing you've ever seen or the most tragic, and maybe it's both, you know. But, I mean, Colonel's somebody we think about every day. I mean, we did while he was still here. A lot of times somebody passes and you put them at a different place, or you suddenly find meaning where maybe you didn't before. But with the Colonel, it wasn't that way. Like, it was always there. You always thought about things he said to you, or you always thought about lessons that you learned from him. And, you know, and since he's been gone, it's taken on a different weight, but it's, you think about him the same way, like he's here. He very much informs the way you go about things. And, you know, there's a lot of people in our band, that are Colonel Bruce alumni. I mean, Sue certainly knew him, and I played with him on and off, and even in his band for a little while. And our drummer Tyler Greenwell was in the band with Colonel for years, and Brandon Boone, who's playing bass with us, was playing with Colonel right out of high school. So you know, there's something comforting about that too, of having his a lot of his proteges in a tour bus together. And just the other night we were watching Colonel Bruce Hampton interviews and just goofy footage that we could find on YouTube, and it's just so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. And, you know, we certainly miss him, that's for sure.
The song, the ending, is just you and Susan, right? Two acoustics, very stripped down. And I feel like there are times in the song where she's actually crying. I'm sure that she's not, but there's just an unbelievable amount of emotion in the song. Is it just the two of you, or is it just her?
It's Oliver Wood and me on guitar and Susan singing. The three of us wrote it together and recorded it right there, and just had one, maybe two microphones. We were just intending to write and maybe demo it, but it was that emotional, and it was, you know, it probably is her crying while she's singing it. And then, you know, we wrote maybe 15, 20 verses about the Colonel and distilled it down to what's there. And, you know, when we tracked it, we recorded it right when we wrote it, I think maybe we were thinking we would come back and re-record it, but it just hit me that it's not a place that you want to go back to and dig into that way that often. And I don't know if it could ever be done that way again. And so we just let it be. And, I think there's something very Colonel about only playing a song one time. And I think that's probably what's going to happen with that, is the one time we played it is that. And, I think it cuts right to the bone, and I don't know if it's something we'll ever play again, you know. And, but I feel like that's, in a lot of ways, that's him in a nutshell.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, things are unique and special, and they come and go, and that's that. And, you know, and if it hurts, then that's that.
Right.
That's the way it is. So, you know, that's, but it felt like it needed to be on the record, and it felt important to honor him in some way. You know, he is and was a huge part of who we are as individuals and as musicians, that's for sure.
I am going to let you go in a minute, but I do want to talk about the tour and the current personnel. Obviously, nobody can replace Kofi, and we hope he gets better real soon and gets back on the road. But Gabe Dixon has tremendous chops, and he's such a great player. His debut, his first record, is still absolutely one of my favorite records of all time. How great is it to have somebody of Gabe's talent in the fold?
It's amazing, man, because, you know, stepping into Kofi's world over there is, in a lot of ways, it's just an impossible task. I mean, he's such a singular musician, and, you know, and I've we just miss him. We just miss him personally out here. And but Gabe stepped in and just immediately owned it in his own way. And we're only maybe 6-8 shows in, mm-hmm. and it's extraordinary what's going on over there. It's been really inspiring to play with him, and just a great dude to be around too. We're really lucky that he was willing to step in and learn 60 songs in a week.
Yeah.
and jump into this crazy band. And I mean, it's impressive, man. He's and every night it just gets more comfortable and more exploratory, and it's there's a lot of smiles on stage. Thinking about Kofi while we're doing it and talking to him a lot, but he's on the mend and his head's in the right spot, and it'll be a happy day when he comes back. But Gabe is holding it down like a hero over there. It's really impressive.
So great. And Brandon Boone is just a temporary replacement for Tim, right? You guys haven't made an announcement on a full-time bass player yet, right?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't made an announcement, but Brandon too. I mean, the way he's making it hard to think about anybody else.
Right.
Brandon is, I mean, he's young and just getting on it. Those two together, it's been really inspiring playing with both of them. And we're definitely not thinking about anyone else. I mean, Brandon is just over there crushing it. And it's fun to look back and see the drummers just grinning ear to ear. There's a lot of there's a lot of joy up there right now, and a lot of discovery, which is great.
Derek, I've kept you way beyond anything allowable here. The album comes out February 15th. You're on the road with breaks here and there. It's, back to the grind for you guys, including a trip to Europe. Thanks so much for taking an extended amount of time with us. We really appreciate it. And what can I say? Continued success, all right?
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. And we'll see you down the road.
A memorable discussion with Derek, who was very forthcoming and absolutely generous with his time. Signs is indeed a very good record, one you will definitely want to check out when it hits store shelves and indeed streaming services on February 15th. You can pre-order the record in various configurations with cool swag at TedeschiTrucksBand.com. That's where you'll also find tour dates and lots of other great stuff. Before we leave you, let's go back to this July 30th, 2017 performance at Red Rocks, courtesy of Nugs.net, and have a listen to a great Tedeschi Trucks Band performance of this Derek and the Dominoes song, Here Is Any Day.
Yeah.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit OsirisPod.com. Thanks for listening. Osiris.